Good morning. Welcome to Jenkins Church. I'd like to get started this morning by looking at the announcements. We have several announcements printed in the bulletin. We ask that you take time to look at those. I believe there is session this afternoon and committee meetings.
Committee meets, if your committee presentation, I know, does. Charles doesn't think there's some work to do, but the building and grounds probably don't need to meet tonight. We've got work to do, a couple of lights are out. Don't need to meet on that, do you? Just perfect them. And is the any other committee not going to meet or need to meet? Technology will not meet. We can't catch up with what we already planned. Is that right? Who else? Okay.
Any other announcements from the congregation?
Children's Sunday is the fifth Sunday, be the 30th. The sign that says 9 o'clock has been scratched out. Everyone I found, 9:30. We will meet at 9:30 on the 30th, and then have a picnic beginning at 11 or thereabout. We didn't want to get out. Well, we adjusted that because of the picnic. It won't be a brunch, it'll be a picnic. So, that's the 30th. Does that kind of get it, Melanie?
Okay.
Chris Education and Kitchen Committee is working that. Okay.
Any other announcements?
Really? I would
shower this afternoon for Amy and Jeremy.
2 o'clock.
2 o'clock. Prayer requests. We have a prayer list in the bulletin. If you would like to add something to that, you can put it on an index card and drop it in the offering plate. And at this time, we'll also take any prayer requests from the congregation. Jeremy. Lloyd Harrison. Okay. Any others? This time in preparation for worship. Oh, I'm sorry, I missed the visitors. Do we have any visitors today? I don't see any. At this time, we ask that you bow your heads for a moment of silent prayer in preparation for worship.
Let us worship.
call to worship this morning is printed in your bulletin. It is responsive. Please join with me. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night.
He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers.
Let's all stand, turning our hymnals to hymn 31. Hymn 31 was a contemporary hymn when I was contemporary, about 20 years ago.
I think everybody will recognize Melody and Savetta have been playing it for some folks.
Kingdom. And Lord, you look down upon us, but you look with favor. You look down on us and see our condition, that we are helpless and undone, and you reach and lift us up with your touch. And Lord, you enable us to experience your greatness. You give us voices to sing about it. Great are you, O God. And thank you for caring for us. Thank you for reaching out to us. Thank you for lifting us up. And thank you for enabling us to be great in your kingdom. We offer our thanks and praise in the name of Jesus. Now we come praying as he taught us to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please remain standing and we will express our faith through the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Confession this morning is from Jeremiah 14:20. O Lord, we acknowledge our wickedness and the guilt of our fathers. We have indeed sinned against you. Please join me in the prayer of confession. Most holy and merciful Father, we acknowledge and confess in thy presence our sinful nature, prone to evil and slothful in good, and all our shortcomings and offenses against Thee. Thou alone knowest how often we have sinned, in wandering from Thy ways, in wasting Thy gifts, in forgetting Thy love. But Thou, O Lord, have pity upon us, who are ashamed and sorry for all wherein we have displeased Thee. Teach us to hate our errors, cleanse us from our secret faults, and forgive our sins. For the sake of thy dear Son, our Savior, and O most holy and loving Father, send thy purifying grace into our hearts, we beseech thee, that we may henceforth live in thy light and walk in thy ways, according to the commandments of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our assurance of forgiveness is from Jeremiah 33:8-9. I will cleanse them from all the sin they have committed against me, and will forgive all their sins of rebellion against me. Then this city will bring me renown, joy, praise, and honor before all nations on earth that hear of all the good things I do for it, and they will be in awe and will tremble at the abundant prosperity and peace I provide for it.
Hymnals now, if you will, please. Hymn 521, Redeemed. Let's sing all the verses.
Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. His friend, with me of continually dwell.
These are your CPW officers for the coming year, four of them, and one is a past president for 2 years, but they need her to encourage them along and keep them straight, keep them going in the right direction. Cumberland Presbyterian Women's Ministry. Elizabeth, as president, you have opportunity to experience the joy of seeking God's wisdom and sharing this wisdom and love as you lead in the women's ministry. In this leadership role, you will preside over the meetings of the women's ministry and the exam committee, and you will assist in planning and implementing the work. You will also serve as an ex officio member of the Board of Missions, and I charge you to encourage, enrich, and connect in love with those whom you serve. Charlotte, President-elect, you have been given the opportunity to seek God's wisdom and serve as you assist in the leadership of the women's ministry. You will serve as support to the president while also spending this next year in observing, studying, learning all of the responsibilities you will assume when you succeed the current president. Be faithful to your commitment as you serve. Karen, secretary, you have been given the opportunity to be of service to others as you record the minutes of the meeting and the executive committee. You are charged with taking accurate notes and minutes while being mindful that you are recording the history of the Cumberland Presbyterian Women's Ministry for future generations. Julie, as treasurer, you have been given the opportunity to be of service to others as you perform your financial duties. Cumberland Presbyterian Women's Ministry, as a part of that, you will be responsible for receiving, recording, and dispensing of all monies, as well as to make financial reports at the meetings. Be faithful in your commitment as you serve. Deborah, you have been given opportunities to continue your service to Cumberland Presbyterian Women's Ministry. During the next year, or this year, it has already started, you will serve as the executive committee and continue to give insight and assistance in the planning of your organization. Your experience and wisdom will strengthen the work of the executive committee as well as the women's ministry. Be faithful as you continue to serve. And I want to say that Deborah has done an outstanding job 2 years as president of this organization. You've heard your responsibilities. Do you accept the responsibilities of the office to which you have been elected and promise to seek God's wisdom and guidance in fulfilling your commitment? If you do, would you please say, I do. As minister of this church, it is my privilege, my pleasure, to now declare that you have been officially installed as officers for the Jenkins CPWM. May God richly bless you for your commitment to serve as leaders in the Cumberland Presbyterian Women's Ministry. But may come close to you, let us pray together. Eternal God, you call all who believe in you into service and promise grace and strength for the fulfilling of your will. Bless, we pray, these women whom, having been called, have offered themselves for this office. In their service, O Lord, lead them to a deeper knowledge of you. Give them diligence and faithfulness in their study of your word, tenderness and patience with all whom they serve, and sincerity, singleness of mind, and humility as they accept the responsibilities laid upon them. Help them and us to follow Christ's path and to be a light both in the place that we live and throughout the world. And Lord, we ask this in your Son's holy name. Amen. Now, give you the right hand of Christian fellowship again to be an active part of this congregation in your specific ministry. May God bless you all.
Let me add, since the choir went down to the congregation, I guess you know the choir's not singing this morning. So, I sang at 8 o'clock service, so they asked me just to sing again, and that's okay if y'all are willing to listen. But I will add to the women's ministry. Next year, General Assembly will be in Japan. The women's convention for the denomination, which usually runs in the same week as General Assembly, will not travel to Japan with the expense of that, and their meeting for next summer is going to be in Franklin. I'm sure that the CPWM here will have information on that later, but it would be a great opportunity for our women to participate on the denominational level in the Cumberland Presbyterian Women's Ministry. They usually take up an offering that goes special for mission efforts, and this year their offering was, I think it was over $17,000. Is that right? I'm pretty sure that's the correct number. So it's a great time to help and reach out. Just to encourage you on that.
If you like to follow, it's number 4 in your hymn book.
That was a curve. Yes, I will be singing number 4 in the hymn book.
Consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars, and I hear the rolling thunder. Thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. And when I think that God, His Son, not sparing, sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in that on that old cross my burden gladly buried. He bled and died to take away my sin. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art, how great Thou art.
Time now with Mr. Mike. If all the children would please come down front, and there will be children's church today. expository sentence today. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Would the ushers please come forward? Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in Him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. The Word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may have noticed or remembered that the scripture lesson this morning was also a portion of the scripture lesson from last week. We're talking about being evangelists and helping people to come to trust Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I want to talk about this morning, or lead you in your thinking, if you will permit me to, concerning the difference that trusting Jesus Christ makes. The difference, or examining if there is any difference for the person who trusts Christ as their Savior and the person who does not trust Jesus. I hope, and there is four letters and a space that should have been left out of this sentence in the purpose, to encourage the people who do not trust Jesus as their Savior to do so. Because I'm convinced there is a difference in this life as well as in the life to come. And as we come to trust Jesus, or for we who do trust Jesus, to encourage you as well as myself to tell others about Him. So to invite and encourage those who do not trust Jesus, if you're here this morning, to trust Him. And explain some of the differences. And then those who already trust Him, tell others about Him. That is about Jesus. Talk about, kind of in length or in detail last week, the role of the church. one aspect of our responsibility, or maybe the major role of our church, is to lead people to know Jesus, who is the Christ, who is the Savior, so that they can have a future with God, so that they can be forgiven their sin, so that they can anticipate an eternity. Not with Satan. And so that in this life they can have the benefit or the blessing of the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Our purpose, our reason for being. We're called by Jesus to be evangelists, to preach the Word, to make disciples. Disciples of Jesus. Mark chapter 16, verse 14 through 16, Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Luke 24, 45 through 48. And someone will say, but our chief purpose is to glorify God and enjoy God. It glorifies God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, when we lead people to know Jesus Christ. We talked about last week that it brought joy in heaven when one sinner repents and turns to God. The question we pose this morning is, what is so important about being saved? Why have segments of society gone to such great lengths to make sure that the gospel is available to every creature? Why such emphasis upon television ministries, radio ministries, getting the gospel to the four corners of the world? Why people would leave family, home, and go to distant lands just to tell a people who look different, speak different, act different than we do about Jesus and salvation through Him? What's so important about being saved? Or why was our salvation, and why is our salvation? So why was or is our salvation so important? So important that God sent Jesus to make it possible. The song, How Great Thou Art. It's number 4, stanza 3. Read that if you will. Let me read it to you. You can follow it to see that I am not trying to mislead you. Mr. Hines wrote this song. This is a song that became, until about 4 or 5 years ago, a standard funeral song. And most, I'm going to guess, 1 out of 3 funerals, they would have the music played or have songs, How Great Thou Art. Now, go high on the mountain, or something about high on the mountain and looking through the floors of heaven, maybe weak theology, but they touch people's lives at funerals, so they have kind of taken over. And push How Great Thou Art out. And I asked one day, I looked down and it said 1953 for the copyright for How Great Thou Art. So I asked some people older than me, I said, what song was used at funerals on a regular basis? What was the number one song at funerals before How Great Thou Art? And I guess I could ask Alfred, but somebody suggested, Alfred's a year or two older than me, somebody suggested it might have been Amazing Grace. Is that a possibility? Amazing Grace or something of that nature. But then, after 1953, How Great Thou Art. George Fenwick Shay sang it so much, but he didn't write it. He sang it at Graham Crusades, and we either attended or we saw him on television. And
we learned to love it, and then everybody wanted that song at their funeral. And Slim may have sung that song, or this song, more at funerals than, well, than a lot of them. He's sung it a lot of times where I've been with him at funerals. Anyhow, after 1953, sometime about 1953, Mr. Hines wrote, look at this stanza 3. And when I think that God, his son not sparing, you think of your son. I heard a portion of Dr. James Kennedy's sermon yesterday. Anyone happened to listen to him yesterday? You know he died August the 5th. I learned that this week. Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church, author and promoter of Evangelism Explosion. Didn't that make sense to you? Okay, I ring a bell. But his sermon was on yesterday, and he talked about this guy who was, you may have heard the story somewhere. He was the bridge man at a railroad bridge, drawbridge over the river. And how the guy spared his son to save 400 people on the train to fall in the river. And a moving story, a sad story, but those 400 people, well, they wouldn't be thankful, but they didn't know what danger they had been in sometimes. And sometimes the world doesn't know what danger is in and what danger Christ has saved us from. Okay? But, and when I think that God, his son not sparing, sent his son, to die. And Mr. Hines wrote, I scarcely can take it in as I listen to the song being sung. Can we really take it in? Can we really comprehend? Can we really understand why somebody would give their child to suffer, to bleed, and die? A tragic death for our redemption. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and he died to take away my sin. Why would he do that? What was so important about us being saved that he would do that? Was it really such a big deal? Or is it really such a big deal? And it is. And it is. It's important for this life. The Christian way, the way Jesus teaches us to live. If there was no hereafter, and I think that would be so nice. I think it would be so nice and wonderful if when we draw our last breath on earth, that was it. And we didn't have to worry about a hereafter. Well, we could just live like the devil, too. And not have to worry about it. But if there's any truth in the Bible, there is a hereafter. And people through the generations, through the ages, have looked to a hereafter. That this life is not the end. So though we might dream of it not being anything to worry about after this life, history, people through history, and God's Word tells us that there is something to anticipate out there. But in this life, the Christian life proposes for us the best kind of relationships. Now, we don't always see them. We don't always see the best kind of relationships from Christian people or among Christian people. Because sometimes we forget what we're supposed to be like. Wow. We're Presbyterian, and that means we're part of a presbytery. That means we're connected. In our case, we're connected with like 39 churches and
we got, when one hurts, we all hurt. We got a church that was hurting. And I happen to be on that committee that goes and listens to churches when they're hurting. And back in July, we got a call, and this church was hurting badly. Badly, badly. One of about three right now that we've been dealing with. But this was hurting badly. A church with over 150 years experience of ministry in the community. But they were hurting. And the people in the church, the people on the session, the ruling body of the church, the elders elected to lead the church in ministry, they were trying to decide who would be in charge, I think is what it was. And they were not acting like Christians ought to act, certainly not like elders ought to act. Disciples of Jesus, they had forgot some of the things that Jesus had taught them and teaches us. Things like, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Finally, I told that church at the end of what happened there. I don't know what's going to happen, but I finally said, y'all can keep on fighting among yourselves and you can kill the church. And that's the fact. So if it ever comes up you want to fight with a fellow church member here, just know that you could be held responsible by God. Hopefully that will never happen. But it could. But I told them, if y'all keep fighting among yourselves, you will destroy the church in your ministry that you have. But the best kind of relationships that we can have are those taught by Jesus. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. That is much better, is it not, than do unto somebody else before they do it unto you, and you have to hurry and do it before they get you. That's a terrible way to live, isn't it? But some people in the world live that way. I got to gig him before he gigs me. I got to beat him before he beats me. And then the other one, love your enemies. That's a little difficult sometimes. And we get to where we just don't like people. And if we let it go far enough, it'll be where we don't even love them. And we can say we don't love what they do or don't like what they do, but we still love the person. If you get so angry at what they're doing, we can get to the point of not loving them as human beings or even loving their soul. I've seen it get, even among church people, get to the point that, we don't even want to talk about that. So, but the good kind of relationships is loving our enemies. No matter what they do to us, we're still not going to do anything to harm them or to hinder them in their Christian walk or their coming to the Lord. And then another, love one another. Love one another. Christians loving Christians. Christians loving Christians. And sometimes we don't like them because they dress a little different than us, or think a little different than us, or sing a little different than us, or something of that nature. But we're called to love one another, especially those of the household of faith. Love everybody, even our enemies, but those of the household of faith, of the family of God, the fellowship of the church. Fellowship of Christ. And I'm convinced the best relationships that I can have are those that are taught in the Word of God. And maybe do unto others as I would have them do unto me is the best lesson, best guide that I can use for that. Galatians 5:22 as opposed to Galatians 5:17. Galatians 5:22 tells us these good things. Paul is writing to the church in Galatia, and here are the things he calls them: the fruits of the Spirit of God, capital S for Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. That's just one list of such things that Paul puts. It happens to be the ones of the Galatian church. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. And you can't find anything wrong with any of these. And if we practice this, joy and love and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control, wow, we're pretty good people. Do you know anybody that's that good? hard to be done. But we're working on it, aren't we? We're all striving for it, hopefully. And that's so much better than Galatians 5:19. The works of the devil, really. Let me read them. And some of them we can say, boy, they missed me on that one. But then some of them, they probably didn't miss us all. With all of them. It says, sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft. And we say, I haven't participated in any one of them. But look at the next one. Hatred. Discord. Jealousy. Fits of rage. And I got a confession to make. Another church, when I was much younger and less wise. You mean I think I'm wise now? I pieced a little fit in a session meeting. This guy came, I didn't know it was a fit. This guy came to me the next day and he said, I want to tell you something, Larry. And he said, next time you pitch a fit, I'm going to call for your resignation. Well, I continued my little fit. And so that wasn't nice of me. So if you, I pitched a fit or two. Not too proud of it. It's a confession thing. But then I told my preacher friends, one of them, and he told another one, and got around. And he got to be the question, Larry, he said, you have one more fit. One more fit. And then you're out of here. Well, I kind of challenged him on that, but he was right. I was careful. I never pitched that fit at that church. And I got to this church, and I don't think I pitched the fit yet. Anybody know when I pitched the fit? Didn't mean to. He taught me a lesson. Larry, one more fit, you're out of here, and I thought it might ruin my whole ministry. So I'm guilty of a fit of rage. And the sad thing, I guess, is there's a little pride in that, but I mean it come as a confession this morning. And we were still friends, but I never pitched that last fit. But the still got it to go. Hopefully I'll never pitch it. Hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. So about half of them will say, well, we're not guilty, but the other half we may be. Okay, so Galatians. The best kind of relationships, as the point is are the relationships that Jesus teaches and the Apostle Paul teaches. Love one another. Do good to one another. Help one another. And then, for this life, it's good to be saved because the Christian has been promised help in getting through life. An Old Testament proverb says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. See, a non-Christian just basically has his own understanding and what he gathers from his friends. But it says, in all of your ways, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge God. And He, God, will direct your path. Basically the same thing that Jesus said when He gave the Great Commission in Matthew 28:18, 19, and 20. He says, I'm with you always. Go and make disciples, and I will be there with you. So we have the presence of God with us in the form of the Holy Spirit that comes and abides with us. He will see us also, He says, through every temptation. Not even allowing us to be tempted above that which we are able to bear up under, but will, with the temptation, provide a way to escape. And then in this life, and we're just pointing out three things, three benefits. That's not an all-inclusive list. Fear is gone, or should be. I like a song. It says something about, in Christ all fear is gone. Now some people who are Christians, who are trusting in Christ, they still are fearing death, are fearing so much. But Jesus says, I'm with you always to help you through every tough time. And we need to lean on Him. For the life to come, and we've done mention this, there is an eternity. If the Bible is true. I'd be afraid to think it was. Through eternity. For the life to come, we are saved
from perishing. Peter wrote, God is not willing that any should perish, but all would come to repentance. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish. We're saved from perishing. What does perish mean? Does it mean just, doesn't that mean just to go away and never be anymore? No, it's more reference to God's wrath. We won't have to suffer God's wrath, because this life, we've already said, is not the end. You know, I don't like to preach on hell, but being a disciple of Jesus saves us from hell. I've avoided and avoided and avoided. And somebody brought me this one. You see, a full house, congregation, man is about to go out to preach. The thermostat is right at the door where he goes in. He's got his sermon in his hand. The title of his sermon is Hell. And he's got a joyous look on his face, a smiling face. He is happy to go out and preach to those people about hell. And I don't like to. I don't even like to think about it. But it's part of the Bible. It's part of the Word of God. But Jesus don't want us to go to hell. He came to die to save us from hell, keep us from going to hell. Now, what are we talking about when we're talking about hell? Let me just read, or maybe I need to hide it. No, maybe I need to put it up here where I don't. That's not me in there, but somebody thought it was one time. Matthew chapter 25. Oh, saves us from condemnation, if you want to go there. John 3:18. But I want to read from Matthew 25:41. To those on his left, he will say to those on his left, he separated the sheep from the goats. He separated the faithful disciples from the unfaithful disciples. And he's one on each side. The sinners are on his left. Not an appointment to y'all. The sinners is on his left. Okay? That was where the choir was. Don't keep getting there. Sinners is up those outside this fellowship this morning. Hopefully none of us are here. But hear this. Depart from me, you who are cursed, into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. Not very good relationship, right, in this life. Maybe that next life is dependent on how we act in this life. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me. And they will say, when, Lord? Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? And he said, I tell you the truth, whenever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. In verse 46. I don't like this verse. It's not my favorite, but it's part of it. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. In Christ, we are saved to a life with God. I guess I was still in seminary. I had a friend, I think it was George Estes, brought me a little book one day. Saved from what? Saved from perishing. Saved from hell. Saved from torment. Eternal torment after this life. Saved to a life. To a life with God in heaven. And you can find numerous references to heaven, especially in Revelation. We preached on them a few weeks ago. Maybe a few months ago. The invitation is to claim salvation and eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. $2.99 is the song. Rescue the perishing.
you're not a believer, not a disciple of Jesus, we'll meet you in the altar and we'll pray you through. And just allow you to commit your life. Jesus says, if you'll come to me, he will receive you. He stands at the door of your heart and knocks. You'll open the door and invite him in. He'll come in and abide with you and you with him. It can happen right where you're seated. It would be wonderful if you'd come and share it with this congregation. And you who are disciples, take seriously the challenge of this song to rescue the perishing. Pray about what God would have you to do to be busy in the rescue of lost sinners. 299.
Brother Alfred, will you dismiss us, please?